The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said of him, 'He is possessed by a demon.' But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and of him you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We should pause for a few moments and look at that first reading. It comes from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And if you want to look it up, it's in chapter 12. It's Paul's encomium on charity, the primacy of charity, the primacy of love. To follow Jesus Christ, we need to read this, read it carefully, and we need to take it to heart. Richard Rohr, in his very interesting book, Falling Upward, A Reflection on the Second Half of Life Spirituality, he makes this point, interestingly. He suggests that in the first half of life, generally, people are driven by building, achievement, success. It's a very busy life. Parents are carpooling and they're running and they make sure everybody is taken care of. The second half of life, Richard Rohr says, is different. It's more contemplative, and the second half of life emphasizes the high value of relationships. Relationships are the meaning of the second half of life. In the second half of life, people come to the awareness that the meaning of life is somehow involved in the value of relationships. Their presence or their absence has great impact, especially in the second half of life. C.S. Lewis, in his marvelous book, The Four Loves, in which he writes about the four Greek words for love, surgein, iran, philein, and agapan. He reflects on each of these, and he suggests this to us. To love, he says, is to be vulnerable. The broken heart is the heart that has loved. If you want to protect yourself against the wound, against being vulnerable, love no one, not even an animal. Take your heart, lock up your heart in your hobbies and your luxuries, and in the casket of your selfishness, your heart will change. Your heart will become hard, unbreakable, impenetrable in the casket of your selfishness. Empty, lonely, meaningless. To love, he said, is to be vulnerable. That's worth thinking about. There's a story told that is credited to the Native American Cherokee people about the elder who speaks to a young man in the tribe. And he says to him, inside of me, there are two wolves. They're in contest. One is a mean, greedy, demanding, controlling, selfish wolf. The other is a kind, loving, generous, and caring wolf, and they're in contest. And the young man asks the elder, who is winning the contest? And the elder said, it depends on which one I feed the most. Keep that in mind as we journey through this very day and the opportunities we will have today to say a kind word, to care, to make a phone call, to touch somebody in their loneliness, to bless somebody in their struggles, to belong to somebody in their moments of difficulty, or reversal, or ill health. Listen to St. Paul, he said, of all the things that you do, if you don't have love, you gain nothing.